I'm Jez Barron, and this is Colt Gennaro Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. My guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat, making his roughly monthly appearance on the program, is Barca Blaugrana writer Renato Gonçalves. Renato Gonçalves is the guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat, which marks the return of Baronato. We recorded this podcast just before Atletico went to work against Lokomotiv Moscow on Thursday night. By the time you hear this podcast, you will know all about that result, which I will go into detail with, along with Rob Walker, on Monday's edition of the pod. But for this edition, featuring, again, Renato Gonçalves, we're going to recap Sunday's Partidazo at Camp Nou, which saw Barcelona beat Atletico Madrid by a 0-0 and consolidate first place in La Liga. I'll ask Renato which Atletico player not named Antoine Griezmann he'd want on Barcelona, and he will ask me which Barcelona player I would want at Atletico. We'll also talk about a bunch of other stuff from that game before we move on to typical Baronato things, including what's Renato's spirit vegetable, what's in his playlist right now, all that, and so much more. Before we proceed, the standard disclaimer: my conversations with Renato are usually pretty wide-ranging in nature and do not center exclusively on Atletico Madrid content. For podcasts more in that nature, I will refer you to my conversations with Rob Walker, Into the Calderon staff writer who appears on this program every Monday, and my conversations with various other guests and various other friends of the program. But if you continue listening from this point forward, know that you will enjoy this episode of Colt Gennaro Chat as much as we enjoyed making it. Also, while you're here, please leave a rating and a review on iTunes. It really helps us out, helps get more eyes and ears on the program, and become a Colt Gennaro Chat amigo at patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. You'll receive some pretty cool benefits. I will be updating those benefits in the next couple weeks to give the current amigos, as well as future amigos, a more enjoyable experience. patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. We'll be back with Renato Gonçalves after this. Okay, yeah. So I'm going to be, like, perfectly honest with you. I have, like, no agenda today. Like, we can talk about Sunday, and I have some other fun things. Oh, I have another quiz for you, actually.
Oh, God, okay. First thing I want to talk about is I want to ask you a question. And I already know the answer to this question, but I haven't asked anyone else, so I need to hear from somebody else to see if they can give me a different answer.
Okay.
Why the F did Carrasco go to China? Again, I know the answer, but I need someone else to give me a different answer. But I guess there isn't one.
There's one big one, which is I'm sure the answer that you've heard.
Yeah, I know the answer. But I wish there was something different. I mean,
It's not just for the money, though. I think some people are missing that. It's Simeone didn't want him, and he didn't want to be there anymore, and he wasn't going to play. So
fine, go to another club in Europe.
Yeah, exactly. Go to another club. I mean, he's getting that paper. You know, I respect it. You know, we also lose this, that a lot of these players don't grow up in, you know, a lot of money. They don't grow up in great conditions, financial security. So when they have a chance to get money, they go get it.
Sure, but he was born in Belgium. And I guess
he was.
Not a lot of people in Belgium. In Belgium are poor people. And he played in Monaco for a while. And I'd say that everyone who lives in Monaco, let alone play in Monaco, is kind of good on money. Then he went to Atletico Madrid, and I'd kind of say that I think he has a little bit of money already, but I mean, this is got. I know that he's guaranteeing the future of his grandchildren, but still, I mean, sure, he might be back, and he might get bored of it in a year and come back, and it's just. It's just a year of making money, but still.
No doubt it's one of the weirder transfers we've seen. I mean, he's making like $10 million a week to lose, or $10 million a season to lose 8-0. So,
Yes. I mean, but like Gaetan, you can completely understand because that guy doesn't have any mark in Europe anymore.
Oh, yeah. Like his career.
Aletti was the biggest move he could get in Europe, and it didn't work for him. So either he goes back to Argentina, which is too young to do now. So the other option is to make money in China, then retire in Argentina, I guess.
Yeah,
so Gaetan I completely understand, but Carrasco is just too hard to understand unless you just accept the obvious reason, which is
money.
Freaking $10 million a season, so whatever.
Yeah, Carrasco is going to spend a year or two there. I don't know if he's going to go to the World Cup this summer. I've talked about this with a couple people. I don't know if he's going to go to the World Cup this summer. This may damage his chances, but, you know, he'll spend a year or two there. He'll make a lot of money. He'll probably play really well, and he'll come back to Europe at 26 years old. Like, he'll take the Paulinho route, Renato. He'll just do the Paulinho method, which is obviously worked out for him.
Paulinho wasn't one of the most promising players when he was at Spurs.
That's China, true. Because
he couldn't leave for any other club. So he just went to China because, okay, I'm going to get a lot of money. Plus, nobody in Europe wants me because I just sucked at Tottenham. So I have no other recourse. Carrasco has always been one of the most promising players in European football. It just didn't happen to him at Atleti because he has a coach who doesn't really fit what his style of play is.
Yeah.
But you put that guy in Manchester City and he's Leroy Sané right now. Just giving you an example. So I think he just needed to wait three months and go to another club. I'm sure people will be lining up to sign him from all the big clubs in Europe. But I guess $10 million a season is better than $7 million a season in Europe. Guess that extra $3 million really attracted him.
And also, there hasn't really been much talk of this, but the team he went to is owned by the Wanda Group, which used to have a stake in Atletico. So I don't think it's any coincidence that that's the club he went to. I mean, let's be real here. There's some shady stuff going on with this.
Yeah, he could just get loaned back in July if Valenti happened to change coaches, because you never know. Oh, Simeone left. Oh, we're going to send you back to Valenti on loan with an option to buy for $2 million.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's too shady. It's like the guys from AC Milan. Everyone can go to China and go back and loan back and forth. It's no problem because they're all owned by Chinese people anyway. So it's weird.
It's a weird one. I mean, but honestly, I didn't too much mind it because Carrasco is, we're never going to know the fee, so I can't get upset about if Atletico got screwed over financially or not. Number two, he wasn't going to play. And when he did play, he wasn't very good this season. So, and this had been an issue with his attitude for more than a couple seasons now. So we're entering the third season of his LA career, and Simeone has just been frustrated with him a lot. So it seemed like a divorce was inevitable. But what a weird way and what a weird time for it to happen, right? Crazy.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. 3 months before the World Cup, you go to China. To not make, and that's the baffling thing to me. He's not going to make that much more than what he would make in any big club in Europe. Like, to me, $10 million a season, he can get that somewhere else. Like, you'll go to, I don't know, a PSG, you're going to make that.
Yeah. Juventus or Bayern or Arsenal probably would. I mean, Arsenal might, but those teams probably wouldn't give him quite as much money. But he'd still make bank. I mean, he wasn't making nearly that much at Atletico. We know that, but he would make serious money at another big European club. He'll go to China for a year or two, then he'll come back at 26, and he'll be fine. I'm sure.
Yeah, Yeah, maybe he just wanted to be as far away from Cholo as possible. So, yeah, from China.
If there was a Martian Super League, he would have gone there.
Yeah, so
he and Cholo did not get along.
If I go home in Belgium, I'm still not far away enough from him. I'm just going to go to China. So, or as someone famous would say, China. So that's my new one. Yes, that is my President Trump impression.
Oh, well done. Well done.
You got that.
Yes, so Carrasco's gone, yes. Yes, so let's talk about Sunday a little bit. I mean, obviously...
What happened on Sunday? I can't remember.
Oh, quiet.
Since Sunday, I've been quiet, so pumped for this podcast, but I just can't remember why. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. It slipped my mind. What happened on Sunday? Can you please refresh my memory?
I think if you try real hard, I won't have to remind you.
I can't remember.
Think real hard.
No, I can't. You gotta help me.
Uh-huh.
I want you to say it.
Mm-hmm. Atletico Madrid did not beat Barcelona.
No?
They did not on Sunday, no.
But they didn't end in a draw.
It did not end in a draw, that's correct.
How did it end?
It ended with a 1-0 win to Barcelona. I like how you're coaching me through this.
Oh, interesting. So does that mean that Atletico lost?
That it's more, you could say they lost, although you could also say that Lionel Messi beat them.
No. Did Atletico Madrid lose?
Lionel Messi beat them. Yes.
Did Atletico Madrid lose?
I've already answered this question.
No. I want to hear the word yes from your mouth when I ask the question. Did Atletico Madrid lose on Sunday?
Yes, I've already answered this question.
Okay, you'll say yes. That's enough.
Damn it.
And you know why I'm being a super idiot right now? It's because that message you sent me on Twitter with the 5 points thing, it got me so mad.
Did it really?
And I was like, yeah.
I mean, I won't lie.
It's joking, man. I wasn't angry or anything. I didn't want to. I wasn't gonna end my friendship with you over that. I just loved how you got excited about being. Freaking Leganés and thought you were going to beat us.
I mean, it was a factual statement. And second of all, I'm not going to lie and tell you I didn't intend to rankle you, you know, especially after you drew with Las Palmas.
Yeah,
I ain't going to lie.
It sounded very cocky and that made me mad.
I mean,
okay. I just want Barca to win so much. So I can send him an 8 points answer, but I didn't because I wanted to take the high road.
There also isn't an 8 like fingers emoji, but there is a 5 fingers emoji. But there's not an 8.
Oh, I was gonna say a 5 fingers plus a 3 finger. And a plus sign in the middle, so it doesn't stop 53 points. Which, by the way, is more than what Real Madrid have in La Liga this season.
Ayo. So Ayo.
I gotta be honest with you. I didn't watch the whole game live because I had to cover Manchester City against Chelsea.
Yes.
Which was a lot of fun for me because that was one of the most dominant performances I've seen in a while in a game between two really, really top teams in their leagues. I don't remember such a dominant victory in a long time. And it's crazy because it was just 1-0, but it was like the biggest 1-0 win you've ever seen.
Yeah, because City had like 75% or 80% possession. Like they set a pass completion, like a Premier League pass completion record in that game.
Yeah, they had 1,000 total passes.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. It really is unbelievable. Yeah.
And they made Chelsea look worse than Wigan, who beat Manchester City, but Chelsea couldn't be as good as Wigan. So that was as dominant a performance as I've seen in a long time. Again, between two really top teams. And I only got to watch the first half because the City game started exactly 45 minutes after kickoff at the Camp Nou. So I only could watch the first half, and that was enough.
So you conveniently missed Atletico looking better in the second half. I see how it is.
The only difference between Barca and Atleti on Sunday was Messi. Atleti didn't have a Messi. They only had Griezmann. And on a game between two evenly matched teams like Barca and Atleti are at the moment, I'll take Messi over Griezmann any day of the week.
I mean, yeah, you take Messi over anyone, literally anyone.
But I mean Griezmann, because Griezmann was on freaking fire. I mean, 7 goals in 2 games.
Yeah.
It was looking the best it's ever looked. So when I say I'll take Messi over Griezmann, I'm actually praising Griezmann because Griezmann has been sensational for the last 2 months or so. But I still take Messi over and not fire Griezmann any day of the week. And that was clear on Sunday. That free kick was just out of this world. Oblak couldn't save it, for Christ's sake. Again, if it was a penalty, you wouldn't be surprised that Oblak didn't save it. But I always have that on me.
I know. You're still on about it. I know.
Yes, but free kicks he can save. But even he can save that.
The free kicks are like penalties for Messi, because he just scored 3 in a week.
Yeah, he's literally better at free kicks than he is at penalties. That's a fact. Like, if you look at the recent history, he might have a better conversion rate on his free kicks than his penalties. It's insane how good he has become. Mm. And he wasn't good at free kicks early in his career. I want to say even early in his career, 3 years ago, he wasn't good at free kicks. Then he started training that, and now he's the best free kick taker in the whole world. So that guy is just insane. And he was the difference, because Barca completely dominated the first half.
Yeah, they did.
Completely dominated the second half. And the difference is, the best player for Barca scored, and the best player for Atleti couldn't.
Yeah, so that's the difference, and that is kind of what made this first versus second, and the first place team has the clear difference maker. The second place team does not. It was a very tight game. It really was. And Simeone got criticism for coming out very conservatively, which I understand. But I said this on Monday. Like, you come out in like a 3-4-3 and just go all out attack on Barcelona, you're gonna get run off the pitch. So yeah, yeah. I got no problem with Simeone being conservative, but Atleti were just like too cautious and conceded, you know, too many opportunities. They were lucky to be down 1-0, but in the second half they were much better, just could not find that equalizer. And I give credit to Barcelona, because I think you'll agree this how much more compact and pragmatic they have become under Valverde. I mean, against Luis Enrique, Atleti would have drawn or possibly won this game, because his approach is very different.
No.
Valverde has just, he matched Simeone in terms of compactness, in terms of the formation, in terms of grit and like an effort, and like and just defensive know-how. I mean, Barcelona, I think, got to give them a lot of credit.
Yeah, and most Barca fans don't appreciate them. If you look at the Barca blog and his recap that I didn't get to write, because again I didn't watch the second half, so my friend Jill Clark, who, shout out to Jill, she's just, I know this is not a Barcelona podcast, but not a Barca blog, but Jill Clark deserves a shout out. That she's awesome. But anyway, if you look at the recap she wrote after the game, people were calling it a crappy win. Worst win of the season. We're so boring. Sack Valverde and all that. I was like,
after beating Atletico 1-0.
Do you realize we just beat Atletico freaking Madrid, and you're calling this a bad win? Are you serious? I understand if you're angry after a 1-1 draw with Las Palmas, but you can't score 2 goals against the worst defense in the league. I get that. And that was a very bad performance by Valverde. But on Sunday, he was on point. Because the team played a spectacular first half, and when Atleti got better in the second half, Barca were fantastic defensively. And Gerard Piqué was at the top of his game, as it has been all season.
Yeah, Piqué was great.
Sergio Busquets was out of this world, and as it has been all season. Ter Stegen has become a top five goalkeeper in Europe, which he never was under Luis Enrique. And he has become a top goalkeeper on the Valverde. We showed the two things we're good at. Under Luis Enrique, we're a formidable attacking team. But under Valverde, we're not maybe formidable, but pretty good at attacking-wise. And we're sensational defensively. We have conceded 10 goals all season in the league. 10 or 11, I don't remember.
13. Atleti are at 12. Barca are at 13. Which, and the obvious thing that people have said is, oh, Barca have the ball so much that's why they don't concede goals. And it's not the case anymore. Barcelona are legitimately good defensively.
Yeah, we share possession a lot more than we used to. We don't dominate it anymore. We give it to the other team. And we know how to defend now because we have a coach that knows how to organize. And I hate that people say he has a small club mentality, because that's not true. He's just making the team defend better. It's that simple. And I'll tell you what, if Barca scored two more goals in the first half, which they should have, not even could have, would anyone call a 3-0 win against Atleti a crappy win?
Absolutely not.
But because it's just 1-0, instead of celebrating Messi's greatness and the fact that Valverde just shut down Antoine Griezmann and was able to create a lot of chances against the best defense in La Liga, people are still going to criticize the coach. I just don't get it. I just don't get Barca fans. Just don't.
Yeah, that makes two of us. But so Barcelona are going to win the league.
Aren't they?
Yes.
That's not what you said on Thursday.
I didn't say anything about the league. All I mentioned was literally 5 points. That's all I mentioned.
Yeah, but that implied that you're going to win on Sunday, and
I was hopeful.
Cut it to two and then win the league.
I was very hopeful.
Don't try to say it didn't imply that with that damn message.
I was very hopeful.
I was so mad at you, I called you a bastard. I called anyone a bastard. So that's how mad you made me.
Well, in a way, karma got me because Barca won. So Barca are going to win the league. I also think, Renato, that Barca are going to go unbeaten this season.
You do.
I'm looking at the fixture list, and the only loss I could see is Balaidos on April 18th, because you have the cup final on the 21st against Sevilla. You go to Balaidos 3 days before. That could be a loss.
We always lose there. We always lose there. Yeah.
And you'll have the cup final at the weekend.
It might be champions by then too. So,
Yeah, great. But
we have the Clásico at home, so that could be a loss too. I mean, if we win the league and we're in the middle of the semifinals of the Champions League, I think Valverde would just forget about the league.
If you've already won it, what's the point? Just embarrass Madrid further? You've already embarrassed him enough.
No. They embarrass themselves just by being what they are as a club. They embarrass themselves, but still, I think if we're deep into the Champions League and we've already won the league by April, we're losing a game or two, and I'd have no problem with that. Absolutely not. So.
But yeah, also, I just think, especially from the Atletico side, Barcelona, we're not given enough credit. This is a team that hasn't lost all season. And this is a team that Atletico only lost to due to a Messi free kick. Messi does this to everyone. So, fixture, the Ultra Clásico, as it's called now, it's become so even. Atleti used to go to Camp Nou and get punked 5-0. They used to go to Camp Nou and lose 4-1. It would be over inside 15 minutes. Atleti were in this till the very end.
Yeah. Since Simeone came in, that changed. And Sunday it was they've been close a lot of times, but that was the closest they came to getting a real result. They played great. But I don't know. Simeone can beat Barca in the league, I guess.
No.
I think he did get a win, quote unquote, which was the draw that won them the league at Camp Nou in 2014. But a real win they haven't gotten since he's got there, right?
Except in the Champions League, yeah.
Yeah, I mean La Liga. Don't remind me of the freaking Champions League tournament.
I will remind you of the Champions League, Renato.
You mean the two times we got past us and lost to Real Madrid in the final because Oblak can save a freaking penalty? Is that what you're talking about?
Shut up.
Oh, okay, so you go. Try to remind me, you bastard.
It's the second time you've called me a bastard in this podcast.
You get me. It's your fault.
Anyway, a couple more questions on this game. If you could pick one Atletico player, not named Griezmann, to have in the Barcelona team, I'll pick one Barca player I'd like to have in Atletico, not named Messi or Suarez. If you could pick one Atletico player not named Griezmann, who would it be?
Okay.
Koke?
In place of Rakitic.
Interesting.
Again, in center midfield, I don't want Koke out wide. That's still a stupid decision.
I'm surprised you didn't pick Saul.
No, I think it's good, but I think it's, I don't know, maybe he's overrated to me. I don't know, but I see more of a workhorse than a real technical midfielder like Koke is. You know what I mean?
How dare you say Sal is overrated? He's my son.
Sorry.
He's my Spanish son.
I don't know if he's overrated. What I mean is maybe I don't see him enough, so I don't have enough of an educated opinion.
But okay, so you're going to say Koke, though.
Yeah, because I just think Koke fits Barca better than
now. Okay.
So, but Sal is just an amazing player. I just think he's like a rich man's Rakitic.
I think I might take Rakitic.
Oh, thank God. You're not taking Busquets, so I'm fine.
Yeah, it was between Busquets and Rakitic, but I mean Busquets is sublime, you know, but thinking about this team's like needs, I mean,
yeah, he's the perfect Gabi replacement.
Yes. Yeah, I mean Rakitic is so, he's become critical under Valverde. He's so versatile. He can really, he floats around, does just about everything. He's become a really underrated player. So between Rakitic and Busquets, and it's hard to say no to Sergio Busquets because that's Sergio Busquets, but it's a tough call. Yeah, but
I think to be honest, Busquets is such a product of the Barca system.
Yeah,
even though he's a fabulous player, I think the only other club, the only other team where he'd be a real Sergio Busquets is Man City.
Is Manchester City, yeah.
So if you put him at Atleti, he'll still be pretty good, but he won't be the best defensive midfielder on earth like he is. So I think he needs a real specific environment to be
exactly
the best version of himself. And I think Rakitic can just adapt to anything.
Speaking of City, congratulations on being a Champions League quarter finalist despite losing the second leg.
Oh, thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah, the second leg didn't matter. It was literal formality.
Yeah, the Champions League just, it doesn't matter. But congratulations anyway. Considering Atletico are in it, it doesn't matter. Last thing about Barca, Ousmane Dembele. What's going on, Renato? What are your sensations of Ousmane Dembele as he veers toward a lost season?
I'll give you a very simple answer. Ask me next season.
Wow, that's great deflection. Let's move on.
No, that's not what I mean. I said ask me again next season because there isn't a concrete answer to give you now. Because this was the season where he was supposed to adapt and then he lost 6 months due to injury. So how the hell do you adapt with only 3 or 4 months where you can play?
Yeah. I mean, it's been the injuries for him that have just killed him. And he's a kid. He's 20 years old and he just moved to another new country.
Yeah, and that was literally the first time he got injured in his career.
Yeah, it's really, really tough.
And it was a serious injury. So how, mentally that must have been terrible for him. So I can't give you an answer because we haven't, like, his first two games, because he played two games before he got injured, he was sensational. He was simply unbelievable in the first two games he played. But then he got injured. He was out for nearly 5 months. And then he came back for one game, got injured again, and now he's trying to get his rhythm back. How do you expect anything from a guy like that?
Because
it's impossible.
Because these are football fans in 2018. They expect every new signing to hit the ground running.
Screw them.
It's more nuanced. It's much more nuanced than that.
It's large. It's very complicated. I was thinking about this the other day. There's a coach here in Brazil. He's retired now, but he's one of the most successful coaches we ever had. And he was a very colorful character in press conferences and stuff like that. And he used to say all the time that we don't know 5%. We only know 5% of what goes on inside a football club.
Mm.
And that's perfectly true. You have no idea what's going on.
Mm. Yeah.
You might have your inside sources and who tell you things, but they still give you only 5%. You don't get into how the player does in training.
Yeah.
You don't see how his psychology is, how he's dealing with the pressure. Is he comfortable in a new city? Does he need a couple of friends to come over from France to be with him or whatever? How does he deal with the first serious injury of his career and the biggest move of his career where he's supposed to replace Neymar? You really think it's that easy? Go play FIFA. Everything's easy there.
Mm-hmm.
This is real life. It's real life. So
it's that FIFA mentality, man, that so many football fans have. It's exactly that FIFA mentality that you sign a player, you set the sliders to like semi-pro, and like you're supposed to score 20 goals.
Yeah, you don't get to sign an 85 player, 85 rated player, and have him just do whatever you want because you're controlling him. That's not what happens. So with Dembele, it's really that. It's that's been again next season because that's only one. When we'll get a real picture of him as a Barca player.
Yeah.
Maybe he will be underachieving next season. But give him 6 months healthy. Give him perfectly adapted to the city, to the life of Barcelona, to the training methods, to the system, the tactical system, which is completely different from what he had at Dortmund. And remember, that kid is freaking 20. Give him time. He's young.
Yep.
So let's have some patience, shall we?
You mentioned Neymar earlier, and how are you feeling about Neymar's new team being out of the Champions League in the last 16? Obviously, you need to consider who eliminated them and consider the club he now plays for and how much you hate that club.
What, you want me to say I'm surprised? I'm shocked?
I don't know. I don't know what you're going to say.
You want me to say I expected them to get into a Champions League matchup against a big club and go through?
I mean,
you want me to say that I expected a team that won a first leg 4-0 at home and lost 6-1 away to go against Real Madrid and lose 3-1 away from home despite being the better team and go back without their best player and do the job? What do you want me to do? That's PSG. PSG are doing it wrong. They're trying to buy a Champions League. That's not how it works. They have to build a football culture. They don't have one. They don't even know what form. They have a default 4-3-3 formation, and then they just buy players. They just go and buy two right backs, then two left backs, then two center backs, then a couple of defensive midfielders, then really expensive wingers and really expensive strikers, and think it's all going to work. PSG think it's FIFA.
Mm.
You have to build a culture. You have to build a culture of tactical brilliance and accountability and responsibility and having people who can manage the egos and having players who are able to let their egos to the side. You know which club is doing it right? Man City. They've won a lot.
City have been doing it longer, but City have built more of a culture there. Absolutely.
But for a while, City were PSG. They were just buying the most expensive players out of nowhere. What did they do? They got a coach who has a very specific vision, a very specific philosophy, and bought players who fit the philosophy instead of having big names. Do you think Pep would rather buy Neymar or Sané? Probably Neymar, but would Neymar really fit the system as a left winger the way Sané does? Probably not. So it's better to have Sané, even though he could sign Neymar, because he has unlimited funds. You know what I mean? So is it better to sign Zlatan Ibrahimovic or Gabriel Jesus? Gabriel Jesus fits the system better, even though Zlatan Ibrahimovic has the name. And I'm not saying Pep would sign Ibrahimovic because that clearly didn't work, but I'm just giving you an example.
Yes.
So I'm just saying, you have to build a culture. You have to have your coach and the people above him who have a very specific vision of which type of football you want to play, and hire the right people to implement that and sign the right players that will fit that. PSG have a million wingers, but they don't have creative midfielders. That's what they missed against Real Madrid. They didn't have a creative force in midfield, and that could have been Neymar, but we weren't able to see that for obvious reasons. But the reason they keep buying more expensive players and keep going out of the Champions League at the same stage every year is because they simply don't have a culture. And they just think that if you buy really high-rated players on FIFA for a really stupid amount of money, you can just control them all the way to the Champions League title. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, also, Unai Emery is their coach, and Unai Emery is trash. But, yeah, I mean, they have just a bunch of mercenaries, really. And it's 7 years now without even getting to a semifinal. So, yeah, do better, PSG. Do better and stay away from Jan Oblak.
I don't think they just want us really bad to consider them a big club, but they don't do themselves any favors.
No, you buy Neymar and then you go out in the last 16 again. Because
what's the criticism? I'm gonna use the Man City comparison because I think it's perfect. A lot of people still throw on the fact that Man City spend a lot of money, and they do because they have it. But people admire the way they play. Oh my God, they play so well. Look at how good their coach is. He develops young players. Yes, he signs a lot of them, but he makes the ones who are already there better. Look how good they play. You never say any of that about PSG. The only thing you say is, oh, you see how many expensive players they are?
Mm-hmm. There's no like discernible like style of play.
Yeah, they don't have it.
Yeah.
And they never will until, you know, I'll be serious. I'll be completely honest with you. The only person who can give PSG an identity is Pep. Because there's a lot of technical players there, but I think the only coach who can make all of those technical players with huge egos work is Pep. Because that's what he did at Barca, at Bayern, and that's what he's doing at City.
Mm.
I don't think there's anyone more perfect for PSG than Pep. But obviously Pep isn't going to leave City because
why would he? City could win everything other than the FA Cup this year. City could win everything.
Yeah, and right now there's talk of Mourinho and Conte going to
PSG. Yeah, there's talk of Conte going to PSG, which...
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Yes, Conte is a very good tactical coach, but he's more of a general. I don't think PSG need generals. They just need a really bright coach who knows how to coach players, but who also allows them to express themselves. Conte is just going to put people in a structure and ask them to do that job perfectly. And I don't know
that's the best approach there. Simeone would probably do something similar. I mean, I wonder what would have happened if Simeone had taken the big money offer and gone to PSG 2 years ago. A year and a half ago.
And I was in an analogy that I know you appreciate because you're a basketball fan. The Warriors, when they were coming up 4 or 5 years ago, they had Steph and Clay, and it was this really fun team. But they had Mark Jackson as a coach, and he was a very structured guy. He won a really strong defensive team and slowed the game down offensively, and have Steph take this really impossible shots from three late in games to give them wins. What does Steve Kerr do? He's just changed the culture completely.
Yeah, Kerr just lets them do what they want, pretty much.
Yes, he gave them some defensive structure, which is the reason why when they're engaged, the best defensive team in the NBA, without a shadow of a doubt, when they're engaged again, which they aren't right now, but they'll be in the playoffs. And they just do whatever the hell they want on offense. They have a couple of set plays, but the rest of it is just guys having fun and throwing up shots.
It's like improv. It's like improvisation on offense, and you can't complain. Yeah. I mean, the Warriors are the Warriors.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what PSG need. Unless that analogy fits perfectly, but they need a really good coach who gives them some structure, which is important, especially defensively. But that it gives them the freedom to, again, within some structure, do whatever the hell they want and express themselves. And I just don't think Jose or Simeone or Conte is going to allow for that to happen.
Yeah.
So either they need to sign a lot of workaholics to, either they need to like sign Conte from Chelsea and have them like get rid of Neymar and sign some really, really, sign some wingers who work really hard. Conte is going to like that, but if they're going to stick to what they have now, they need to have someone like Pep. And I'm not saying Pep's the only one, but I think he's the ideal one, but he's just not available, and he won't be for a while. So it's a tough situation for them, because they won't buy the Champions League as hard as they try. It's just not going to happen.
Try though they might. Yeah, they have never even made a Champions League semifinal. Let's move on. If I were to ask you, Renato, which what your spirit vegetable is?
My goodness.
What is your spirit vegetable?
I don't eat those.
Well, we're going to find out. On a Friday evening,
I don't even like them.
Which is more appealing? I'm not even sure what this is.
So let's not do it.
No.
For the podcast.
How do you?
Not sure what this is.
On a Friday evening, how do you feel about dinner and a movie with your closest pal?
That's fine.
Okay, we'll go with that. I didn't mean to do that. You're out to a solo treat. You're out to a solo treat yourself dinner. Do you sit at the communal table and maybe strike up a convo with the woman at the end of the table? Or do you beeline straight for the hidden table outside?
No, I don't even do that. I just take the food and go home and eat beer.
Okay, well, that's not an option. You got to pick one.
So, I know I'll go to the table alone.
The table outside?
Yeah, I would rather be alone.
What do you do if someone makes small talk with you on the subway?
If it's interesting, I'll talk back. If it's not, I'll put on headphones.
What are these answers? Would you slow clap or puke? These are the options I have here.
If someone talked to me?
Would you do it? Okay, would you talk to someone or would you ignore them?
Ignore them.
Okay.
No. Sorry. I'll talk to them if the conversation's interesting again. If not,
let's assume it's not interesting.
So
put on your headphones, listen to some Adele, you'll be good.
Yes.
How often?
No, it's not Adele. It's not Adele. Renato's playlist has changed.
Renato's playlist has changed. Well, hold on just a second. I'll get your playlist from you. How often do you envision your dreams as reality? Every day or twice a week, maybe less?
Twice a week, maybe less. Very lofty dreams.
Think about the last huge decision you made. Did you make a pros and cons list, or did it come to you while you were like running? Or like exercising?
I don't run or make lists. So
if you had to pick one to do though.
Yeah, I'd probably do a pros and cons. I'd like to do that.
What is your favorite bar activity? discussing the mystery of life over a craft brew, or pool, or darts, or Scrabble.
Yeah, I mean, I do games. Games is fun.
That's good.
None of that, I play ping pong.
This is a good one. How likely are you to weep during The Lion King? Always, or I just feel like the whole thing was so avoidable? I know which one I would pick.
I mean, I love The Lion King, but I don't cry on it. I don't cry watching it.
You monster.
No, but I wouldn't say that. No. I wouldn't say that I would avoid it, but I'm not a crying sort of fellow. I really like The Lion King.
I'm going with the one that says you didn't cry. One of your coworkers has the sniffles. Do you run out and basically take care of them, or do you tell them to get professional help?
What is the sniffles? What is that?
Like, you know, they have allergies, or like they have a cold.
Oh, I tell them to go to the doctor, because I'm not a doctor.
Professional help required. During an identity crisis, what's your game plan? Meditate? Oh, I think I know the answer to this one. Meditate and call mom, or make a list to get it out of your head.
When I'm having an identity crisis?
An identity crisis. Have you ever had an identity crisis, Renato?
A lot of them.
It's all right. We're all about honesty here on Culture Narrow Chat.
I call mom.
I figured you would. Your flight takes off and you realize your phone's not in airplane mode. Do you put it on airplane mode, or keep it, or like be a rebel and keep it out of airplane mode?
No, I do, because I was taught that if you don't, the airplane falls out of the sky. So I always put it on airplane mode.
So true. What do you do if your hike date? Okay, do you like hiking?
No.
Okay, I don't either. But assuming you do like hiking, if your day just got really rainy and you can't like go outside and like hike or whatever, do you go to the nearest museum, or do you power through it and keep hiking?
No, it's play video games. It's rainy. Why would you get out of my freaking house?
Well, assume it had just started raining on your hike.
Oh, I'm already outside?
You're already there.
Oh, keep going. I don't mind when it's rainy. I like to walk in the rain.
Last question. When deciding what to order at your local restaurant, would you rather spend time gathering as much info as possible on as many dishes as possible, or wait until the waitress comes over and let the pressure decide?
I'll always let the pressure decide. I never know what to pick. And when she comes over, I just pick whatever my eye sees first and sounds good. That's always the pressure.
Your spirit...
And it's always good. And it's always good because I never get it wrong. It's always good food anyway. So I'd rather just do it with the pressure. What's my spirit vegetable?
Well...
Is it good? Okay.
So what they did was... I misread it. So what they did was they compared you to Florence fennel, which is a type of plant. Congratulations. It's a flowering... It's part of the carrot family. So you're a carrot.
I thought of that when I started doing this. I thought... I don't know if a carrot just popped into my head. I swear it's true.
Well, congratulations, Renato. You are a member of the carrot family. You are a hardy perennial herb with yellow flowers and feathery leaves.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I guess I'm Britney Carrot Spears now.
Brazilian Britney, the Britney Spears and like fennel and a carrot.
Yeah. Whatever.
That was not as fun as the first quiz, I have to say. The personality quiz was much more fun.
No, it's not, because I had to start therapy because of that quiz. So it wasn't fun at all.
I mean, I thought it was fun.
No, I'm kidding. It was a lot of fun. Therapy has been really good, by the way. So.
But that's good. I'm glad.
I honestly started therapy because of that. I'm not joking.
I don't know if I should feel bad.
I said to you when I did that personality test, I told you I'm going to have to do therapy now because of these. And I wasn't lying. The next day I went and started looking around. And the week after that, I started therapy. I'm not kidding.
I don't know if I should feel bad about this or like responsible for this?
No, you should feel great because it's changing my life. I'm not kidding.
That's fantastic.
It's insane how good it's been. So thank you for that.
That's great. That's great, man. What else we got? So we're recording this before Atletico play today on Thursday. They have Lokomotiv kicking off in about an hour. The team sheet just came out. Axel Werner is in it as Jan Oblak has multiple injuries. Godin is out. Lucas Hernandez replaces him. And yeah, it's about where we're at here. I have no idea who Dos Santos is. He's Atleti's backup keeper for today's game. I have no idea who that is. A full honesty.
Neither. I mean, you're fine. I didn't know like 80% of the Barca players played yesterday, so it's fine.
Well, that's the Catalan Super Cup. That doesn't matter.
Yeah, but it was still a thing. No.
Is it? Does it have to be a thing? Why do we make it a thing? It doesn't matter.
It's an official trophy.
I mean, I know that, but I don't know. It's a Barca thing.
Like, it's not a Barca thing. It's a Catalonia thing.
It's a Catalonia thing, yes. I don't want to come across as insensitive. That's true.
Yeah, no, I'm serious. It wasn't Barca who had the idea. It was just the Catalan Federation.
Yeah.
So Barca just played. It's Barca and Espanyol every year anyway, so. Unless in this one, there's no fights. So
you're right, true. Yeah, is it really a Barcelona-Espanyol game if there are no fights?
Yeah, because there's a lot of kids, and the kids don't want to fight. They just want to play ball.
Yeah, they should fight.
So it's no, they shouldn't.
They should fight. I disagree.
Because when they fight, Espanyol are more likely to get a result. So I don't like the fighting. When it's just football, Barca destroyed them. So.
Yeah, but Barcelona don't play till next week. Well, they play this weekend. You have Malaga this weekend. Great. Wonderful. And then Chelsea next week. But Atletico have Lokomotiv today, the first leg at home, followed by Celta at the weekend. It doesn't look like Oblak is going to play in either one of those games due to both a hand and groin injury. That's fantastic.
So that's because Messi... Messi's free kick was too strong for him.
Yes.
And that ball felt like a kick in the nuts. So those are the injuries.
Yes. You can take credit for that if you want.
I will.
just lean right into it, Renato.
Is that?
Yeah. So Atleti kick off in about an hour here. And should be exciting without Oblak and Godin. Should be great. I don't know what's happened to Godin. He was in the starting team as late as last night. I don't know what's happened to him, but I'm sure we'll find out. Never a dull moment when your club has 19 players in it.
Nah, he probably broke his leg. He's gonna be back next game.
I mean, he did. I don't think we didn't talk about how quickly he came back from like the two missing teeth that Neto knocked out of his face. He came back in 10 days.
I'm not surprised. I think 10 days is too much.
should have been back in like 2 days?
Yeah, that's more like Godin. He kind of took a vacation there. He wasn't injured. He just wanted some time off. So
so before we head out of here, what's in your playlist, man? What are you listening to these days?
Okay, two albums.
Okay.
That I'm listening nonstop. And I know, I'm pretty sure you're going to like one of them, because if you don't, I don't know what's wrong with you. Number one, and that's number one, not just in order, it's preference. Number one is the Hamilton soundtrack.
Yeah, oh my god, yes. I saw Hamilton a couple weeks ago for the first time, and I'm obsessed now.
Hell yeah. I just can't stop listening to that.
Oh my god. Man, yeah, I saw Hamilton like 3 weeks ago, and I'm like obsessed with it now. It came over me so suddenly.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. And by the way, that's the thing I'm like the most proud of. Doesn't like to my own horn because I don't like doing that. So it sounds weird, but I do know how to sing the opening song, Alexander Hamilton, and My Shot. I know how to sing those songs
You can sing them?
Uh-huh, from start to finish and all the words.
That's incredible.
And I'm very proud of that because, again, I'm Brazilian. I'm not a native speaker of the English word, as your listeners clearly know, just by listening to me. The fact that I know how to sing those songs, I'm really proud of that. Especially my shot, because it's so fast and so many words. And it's good. It's really good.
So you got the Hamilton soundtrack. I love Hamilton, so I'm fully on board with that. What else? What's the other album?
The second I don't expect you to like, but it's fine. But it's Justin Timberlake's new album, Men of the Woods.
And JT's a legend. We know this. We've been knowing this.
Yeah, but the way you said that means you don't really like him, but you respect him.
I like him. NSYNC, when I was a kid, like, I was obsessed with NSYNC.
Yeah, but I'm obsessed with him to this day, which is weird, but I'm not ashamed of it.
I mean, I watched him at the Super Bowl, and like everyone hated it, but I liked it. It's JT. He's great. I haven't heard his new album yet, though. I have to listen to it.
Yeah, the album is awesome, and it has my it's one of my favorite songs he ever did, which is with Chris Stapleton, "Say Something."
Mm.
That song is incredible. It's incredible. I love that song so much.
Yes.
And even if you don't listen to the whole album, listen to that song because it's awesome. I just love it. That's Renato's playlist. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts recently too, so there's that. So that's basically what I'm listening to right now.
Those are two very good choices, man. Those are two very good choices. And that does it for this edition of Renato's Playlist. And by extension, this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat. Renato indeed flying again. I'd like to thank my guest, Renato Gonçalves. Renato, as ever, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
I'll ask him to stick around for just a minute here while we sign off. You can follow Renato on Twitter at RenatoDSG. That is still your handle, right?
Yes, it is.
Renato DSG on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at JB Barron. Follow Into the Calderon. You can also follow Blaugranas Barca at Blaugranas Barca. That's Barca Blaugranas, SB Nation's Barcelona blog, our sister blog on the network. You can also like Into the Calderon on Facebook at facebook.com/Into the Calderon. Subscribe and listen to Colt Gennaro Chat on your favorite podcasting platform. And make sure to rate us and review us on iTunes. If you want to become a Colt Gennaro Chat amigo, feel free to do so, patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. We will have a new bonus pod and a regular pod with Rob Walker on Monday, recapping the events of Thursday night against Lokomotiv and Sunday night against Celta Vigo. Until next time, adios.